Should you be willing to roll with Kenneth Farrow again? Should you consider Trevor Siemian on the road at Arrowhead? And who are the receivers you should consider starting over A.J. Green with everything on the line? Plus, the current third-place team owner in the Football Guys Players Championship, Kyle Reed, drops by and shares his thoughts on how he has gotten better every single year in the FPC tournament. We've got a great show for you. Dave Gerzak is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
We run a brand with a structure, the number one commitment. It's all a joke between Monk and Drax's and so we disappear when...
Thanks a lot, Rob. Season's greetings to you, my friend. And greetings and salutations of the seasonal kind to all the Balkaholics and Gerzakanatics tuning in tonight or listening Saturday afternoon on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network or downloading whenever. It's a busy weekend with the holidays, and hopefully you're having some time to yourself to listen to the show, to getting you ready for championship week in the FFPC and the Football Guys Players Championship. Welcome. This is indeed the latest episode, a special holiday edition of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I'm a slightly above average host, and my name is Eric Balkman. He is the patron saint of fantasy football. He's the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, should you be benching Jordan Reed the week you need him the most? What will Dante Moncrief's stat line look like? And the third-place team in the Football Guys Players Championship, Kyle Reed, joins us to tell us how he built his juggernaut of a squad and give some advice for 2017's first-time FPC players. Shout-out to the chat room right now. Post any questions you guys and gals might have in there. On Twitter, we are at HSFFOR, at Eric Balkman, and at David Gerzak. You can give us a call at 347-426-3682. That's 347-GAME-OBA. You can also email the show at the inbox, highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Our producer and mutual friend Rob and our audio engineer Bryce will get those questions to us in the fantasy feedback segment later on in the show. Dave, an early Merry Christmas to you, since I have no plans to see you on Sunday. But, yeah, it's the holiday season. It's a good feeling, and it's championship week. So much stuff going on, and it's a good time to be playing fantasy football.
Well, thanks, Balky. I'm glad to be here. Merry Christmas. This is exciting.
Very exciting indeed. You know what was the most exciting portion of my week? There is a Facebook post that you made a couple of days ago.
My Facebook post was the most
exciting? Yes, because it just keeps getting larger and larger. It's the story. First of all, it was just a video of some guy driving a Yugo.
And then you were tagged
a few of your high school friends in college friends.
Doug DeMuro from Oversteer wrote an article about he drove an old Yugo. Yeah,
right. And there was sort of like a reference to a story. And then as more people are posting comments on this Facebook post, we're getting more and more parts of the story, and it involved a game of chicken in a Yugo where the driver, of course, our friend Rack, broke his leg and decided to go to bed, and it would be better in the morning.
He wasn't sure it was broken.
There was a screen door that was ripped off somewhere. There was cop cars chasing the Yugo down the street. He had driven it into a snowbank or a car or something.
It's like the next Hangover movie.
Can't even keep up with it. And every time I log into Facebook, it's like the top story on my feed. So I just, okay, what comments haven't I read so far? And there's just a zillion of them. So I thank you for that. That has been my holiday greetings here. Mint Montana, let's kick it off with a question in the chat room. He says he needs one. Who has the most upside? Chris Hogan, Tyrell Williams, Rishard Matthews, or Jarvis Landry? If you're looking for upside between those guys, this might be crazy, but I might go with Rishard Matthews, Dave, out of those four. I mean, Jarvis Landry is obviously going to be probably pretty consistent with all the catches that he usually gets in that offense. But man, Rishard Matthews this week, Dave, is at Jacksonville, and that is a good matchup there. That could be a big week for him. I like Matthew. Normally I would say Tyrell Williams, but he's actually been struggling the last couple of weeks. I think I might go with Matthews there as the highest upside guy. Your thoughts?
I'm just looking at who they're playing.
Oh, Chris Hogan against the Jets.
Not Hogan. Hogan they spread it around a little bit too much.
Okay, so Tyrell Williams against the Browns, Matthews against the Chargers, Jarvis Landry, I believe, is taking on the Bills. Yes, he is at Buffalo. So I don't know what your thoughts there are for upside, but my vote is going with Rishard Matthews. I'm actually starting him in the Kentucky auction this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll go with Williams just to be pose you a little bit.
Okay. So is Matthews number two for you on that list?
Yeah, he is. Although I still like Landry quite a bit, though.
House of Cards, our good friend, former guest of the show, BitBlab Mandel, Larry Fitzgerald or Davante Adams in Week 16. Davante Adams at home against Minnesota. And Larry Fitzgerald taking on the Seahawks in the 12th man stadium. Not a great matchup there.
Well, let's see. A guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame or a person that you got drafted in the 19th round this year.
Who actually burned his gloves after dropping two touchdowns last week. Or no, he didn't burn them. He shredded them, I think. So I'm with you. I'd start Fitz over Adams.
I just, and that going back to Landry a little bit. It's like, Landry is the guy that's the most pedigreed, safest player.
Right.
I know he said upside, but it never hurts to have a floor. Just because you think, oh, my team has no shot, I need this super high upside guy,
yeah,
you get a zero out of your high upside piece of crap and you lose by 6 points.
And Landry gets like 17
or something like that. Even a 12.
Or a 12, yeah.
Exactly.
Mitt Montana, Mark Ingram, Kenneth Farrell, Mike Gillisley. He says, that's really sad. I tend to agree, but you know what? Kudos to you if you are starting those, or you have to make a choice in week 16 with those guys, because that is clearly a testament to your either waiver wire skills or drafting skills that you have built a strong enough team around them that this is the sad portion of your lineup setting. Mike Gillisley at home against the Dolphins. Kenneth Farrow again taking on the Cleveland Browns. And Mark Ingram, in what could be a very high scoring game, plays host to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Between those three, I would eliminate Gillisley, and I'd say it comes down to Ingram and Farrow, and I'd probably give a small edge to Ingram right now.
I'd give it to Ingram. Ingram's a better football player. Farrell's just some, waiver wire hack.
KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
I mean, just the better players. I mean, there's a decent chance Farrell, maybe a 40% chance Farrell does better than him.
Right.
Then there's, Ingram had like a 30-point game just a few weeks back.
That is true. He definitely did.
In that neighborhood, right?
Right around there. Let's get into the show tonight. I want to remind you to check out the High Stakes Lowdown this week with Bob Riley. That's rotoviz.com/podcast. Another fun episode. Actually, David Hubbard, who is leading the FFPC main event and the NFFC Classic, said this one was a fun listen for him. So he really enjoyed this one. Bob Riley actually shares about how his worst beat was actually his biggest win, plus much more. Plus, we talk about the term spikeability, which I didn't realize was a term before, but we get into that a little bit, which is great.
I enjoy all your teases.
Yeah.
You don't reveal too much. This is like the...
Just enough.
This is like the NSA of podcasts.
Yeah, listen, I leave the door open a crack, and I slip off my pants, and then your imagination runs wild.
You know what it's like? It's like your preview. It's like when you it's like, hey, top 20 players you should draft this year in rookie dynasty drafts. And then you click on it, it's like, number 20. Click.
Yeah,
number 19,
I would never do a slideshow. I hate slideshows. Yeah, they're the worst, and I would never do
Number Fire does that. Number Fire, that's really irritating.
I can't even if there's a good, because I still get the newsletter, because J.J. Zacharyson obviously plays in Pros versus Joe.
He's a really cool guy.
He's very cool, yeah.
Fantasy Sports Trade Show, great guy.
Yes, but I even if there's an enticing article, I can't open it anymore, because now.
I'm going to talk to him about that.
Now,
if I see him
now
the next
here's the other
show,
thing.
I'm going to tell him my thoughts.
Okay, tell him this, too, because
right,
it used to be okay.
All right, Zacharyson, we got some complaints.
You actually brought this up, and it was something that I did, because if you click on the article and it'll open the opening page, you can see who's tagged in the story.
Yeah, all the players.
But now what they do to screw you on that is they'll mention, like...
Crappy?
They'll say, like let's say Sammy Watkins is on this list, and then you'll see Terrell Pryor on this list, and you're like, wow, Pryor is a guy I should start. And then the only reason he's tagged is because... This Watkins performance last week was the biggest against the Chargers since week 4 when Terrell Pryor did it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can't even trust those tags anymore.
Man. JJ, we gotta talk.
You will never have to do that with the High Stakes Lowdown. Thanks to RotoWorld, RotoPass, and Rob for tonight's rundown. Owner GM Jerry Jones said again today, the Cowboys will not be resting any starters in Week 16 against the Detroit Lions. This according to a story in the Dallas Morning News, you guessed it, this morning. The Cowboys have indeed clinched home field advantage throughout the playoffs and the number one seed in the NFC based upon the Giants' loss to the Eagles last night. Jerry Jones referenced the 2007 season with Wade Phillips where they had the number one seed, they rested players, and they lost in the first round of the playoffs that year. So Ezekiel Elliott owners, Dak Prescott owners, Dez Bryant owners, do not bench them based on the fact that they're going to get sat, because it doesn't sound like they will. Now, I will say this. They might have reduced workloads a little bit.
You think so?
I think they could.
And they are playing the Lions. The Lions need to win.
On Monday Night Football.
You know what? I'm going to look at this technically with rose-colored glasses because – I'm going to talk about – let me tell you about my Carrington team, Balky. It's in the championship.
Right. Okay, just before you get into Carrington, we will talk about that. But I will say Detroit technically does not have to win because no matter what happens this week, basically week 17 is for the NFC North Championship they play Green Bay, even if Green Bay loses or wins.
All right, gotcha.
Blake Carrington, congratulations. You're in the championship game against our good buddy Optimus Prime.
I was just trying to pimp up my team.
And you started Will Tye last night.
I had to start Will Tye. I was coming into the show like 10 minutes ago. I was telling Balky, I'm like, dude, Will Tye got me like a 1.1, and evidently he got me a 7. So I'm actually happy with that. I had Gronk on that team, Tyler Eifert on that team, and what the other guy, Vance McDonald.
All
these bums got injured, so Will Tye. Yeah, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do, indeed? So you know, it's frustrating for you, but at least you're in the championship game, unlike some of us who are not. Melvin Gordon is officially out for the San Diego Chargers game against the Browns this week, according to Adam Schefter on Twitter. Gordon has not practiced since he left that Week 14 game with sprains of both his hip and his knee. Kenneth Farrow will get the start against the Cleveland Browns. Now, remember, he did not perform up to expectations against the Raiders last week. But if you have Gordon and you were lucky enough to back him up with Farrow, I don't know if you're going to have a better option on your bench this week.
Probably not.
I would still trot out Farrow. It is a great matchup. He showed that he can catch passes. You know, put the check mark next to his name and cross your fingers and hope for the best. Because, frankly, you know, there's not much else you can do at this point. I definitely would not bench him based on his performance last week. Although, I will say this.
All right, let's hear it.
I was in the Scott Fishbowl Divisional Championship last week against Anthony Miko from 2QBs, rotoviz.com.
Congratulations. My team was terrible.
Me and Matt Schauff went back and forth on our lineups. It came down to a Frank Gore, Kenneth Farrow starter sit, and he said he didn't care. He actually said we needed to get Antonio Gates in there, which we did, but that actually didn't hurt us. What hurt us was he said, I'm indifferent on Gore versus Farrow, but I could tell he wanted Gore in there. And I'm like, dude, Gore against the Vikings? You get Farrow in the again. First of all, it's a cool name. But we talked about that Raiders Chargers game last week where the total was super high. I mean, what was the total on that Vikings Colts game? It was not very high. Mm-hmm. We expected a shootout in San Diego with the Raiders game. So I started Farrow. We ended up losing by like, I don't know, 10 points or something.
What did Gore score?
20. In that scoring,
we started
Farrow over Gore, so we lost.
Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, Gore is like he's like an RB1 almost. Didn't we talk about this like three, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah,
you're starting some free agent bum over Gore.
Listen, it is
the Vikings have fallen off. You know, Andrew Luck throws pass interference, you know, balls in the end zone all the time, and Gore's in there at the 1.
Yeah, and you know who got those 2 1-yard touchdowns last week? Robert Turbin.
Yeah, so Gore could have 3 touchdowns.
Right. Well, he ended up having 1. It cost us. It was unfortunate. But thanks to Matt Schauff for a very fun season. So anyway, let's move on to Jordan Reed. He's questionable for Week 16 against the Bears. You realize you didn't have a stake in this team. You seem very, very upset about this.
You're right. I don't really care.
Jordan Reed questionable against the Bears. This according to Master Tefastian on Twitter. Yes.
Does he have the little blue thing by his name?
Didn't check. Jordan Reed, so this could be totally BS. By the way, did you see that thing that SiriusXM NFL Radio reported that the NFL was launching this 4-team spring football league with all veterans, you know, trying to... And it turned out the NFL was not sponsoring that at all.
Hashtag fake news.
Yeah, hashtag fake news. Jordan Reed did not practice this week after he hurt his shoulder, actually hurt it worse, on Monday Night Football against Carolina. Jay Gruden did not sound very optimistic that he would be playing. It sounds like Reed is more than likely going to be out. The question, Dave, is if he is listed as active for this game, and he is Jordan Reed, and he has all the talent in the world, and he was drafted in the second round in this format, are you rolling him out there when you need the best performance you can in Week 16?
Well, normally I'd say yes, except for the two worst words in football, Bulky.
Snap count.
Yep. A strict snap count.
You know, yeah.
Even threw the adjective strict in there.
The other thing, too, is, you know, you could make the case that the game script could flow like this. Washington is visiting Chicago, a team that's actually been pretty good against the tight end this year. And Washington might just run with Robert Kelly, pass when they need to, win the game something like 24-16, 24-13, and then just, you know, shorten the game and get out of there and not be whipping the ball around the field. How many chances is Jordan Reed going to have? You know, Pierre Garçon's really come on. DeSean Jackson got a lot of targets last week. Rob Kelly's getting some stuff out of the backfield as well.
He's not going
to
play.
I'm just bringing it up for people
who practice all week.
Who have to make that decision.
He's got to practice to play.
Kyle Reed is our guest tonight. He is coming up in just a minute. One other thing I wanted to get to. Actually, two other things I want to get to, and we can go over this very quickly. Lamar Miller, questionable for Week 16.
Now, he actually might play because he's like a vital cog on this
against game. Cincinnati.
Not the reason. Not,
the problem is this is the Saturday night game, Dave, against the Bengals. So you will be rolling the dice.
There is a Sunday game. There's
two games on Sunday, one game on Monday.
So you still have six teams worth of guys. That
right.
Hopefully you should look at your bench and see if you have some other options. You know, put Miller in your flex and see if you have some choices.
Yeah, I mean, other options could include either one of the Ravens running backs, Terrence West or Kenneth Dixon. Those would be good fallback guys. You could roll with Justin Forsett if you were lucky enough to pick him up.
Well, I mean, you could roll with a wide receiver or tight end if you're using him as a flex, if he's
absolutely
your second or first running back.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there are other options out there. Now, if you don't have any really real great options in that game, if you know, you're looking at like D'Angelo Williams or Albert Wilson or something terrible
right.
You probably want to start Lamar Miller, but definitely, again, it's like you always said, stuff usually comes out Saturday morning this week.
You'll get some rumors.
You'll get some info. You just got to read between the lines.
So this is really exciting. So tonight's Friday night.
Tonight's Friday
so
night.
All these are tomorrow, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm first realizing this now.
Thanks for reading the FFPC newsletter this week.
Oh, you
appreciated
that. I missed that one. So, I mean, I'm not going to be talking to relatives. Are you going to talk to any relatives tomorrow? You're just going to be
how's
it going? Oh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
This is going to be one of the worst Christmases ever for Eric Balkman.
Here's the key. The key is you position yourself talking to the person where their back is to the television and you are facing them. So you just look right through them and you can see exactly what's going on in the game behind you. And then during commercials, you actually do the conversation.
I'm actually not too worried about the set. It's a whole thing. If it comes up later, we haven't actually.
We have time later to talk about your family.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. We actually have an email about favorite holiday tradition, and I'm hoping this year does not spawn a new one because it's going to be a train wreck. Listen, we got to get to our guest. He's coming up right after this. You're listening.
We got to get to him. We are blessed.
We are blessed to have Kyle Reed, third place in the FPC, coming up right after this. Eric Balkman, Dave Gerzak, High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Week 16, Championship Week. We are helping you start and sit the correct guys, or the best we can do here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. I'm Eric Balkman. He's Dave Gerzak. Let's bring in a guy who's much more intelligent than both of us combined, Dave. He is 24 years old, played fantasy football for 8 years, broke into the high stakes fantasy world 3 years ago. He has not looked back since then. Says he's sadly a huge Jets fan, but there's always next season. However, before we can get to next season, our guest needs to see if this season will be his best ever as he sits in third place in the Football Guys Players Championship with just 1 week of play left. Please welcome to the show, Kyle Reed. Kyle, happy holidays to you, man.
Happy holidays to you guys as well. Thank you for having me on here.
It's a busy weekend, so it is quite a treat to have you on with everything that is going on with the holidays, with Saturday football. That's going to be crazy as well, so very appreciative of your time tonight. Kyle, when you are not being in third place in the Football Guys Players Championship, tell us what you do for a living.
Unfortunately, fantasy football comes second for me. I work in personal insurance. I handle homes, autos, umbrellas, valuable articles for some affluent people. So it's a nice side job to give me some money for fantasy football. But I enjoy it. You know, I've been doing it for about two or three years now, so it's a lot of fun. So
I think once your daughter Dave takes over, I'm going to be going into the insurance business.
Nice.
Can I go to school? I don't think I can work for your daughter when she becomes a baby.
Olivia, yeah, my younger daughter Olivia is actually the boss of our office.
Yeah, totally. And she is what, 11?
Oh, she's 12.
12 years old.
Yeah, she tells people to work or get fired.
Yeah.
That's on her, actually, on her whiteboard.
And
she wrote up
not a joke. She's never smiled when she said it before, which is very scary. So, yeah, listen, Kyle, I might have to pick your brain offline here later, and you can give
me
some tips.
Absolutely, I'll be here.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much because I'm going to need the money. I am not as good at fantasy football as you are, Kyle.
All right, Kyle, let's talk some fantasy sports just a little bit. So you're in third place overall in the Football Guys Players Championship. Final week, this is it. So tell us how you're feeling. Are you worried about – do you need any help with lineup decisions? Because you've come to the wrong place, my friend.
I can honestly say this is the first season I've done this where I don't ever have that feeling where I don't know who to start. It's lucky to have two stud running backs. I have, you know, Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. So you know you're going to trot them out every week. The biggest question mark for me is my wide receivers, without a doubt. You know, Jarvis Landry's been good, but the quarterback play hasn't been great. Willie Snead is, you know, playing with Drew Brees, which is great, but he's also not always the number one, two, or three target there. So it's kind of a toss-up. You know, picking up Taylor Gabriel was a big one for me. I've been able to start him the past 2 weeks and get some good points from him. But other than that, I mean, I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie. I've never gotten this far in the FPC. So to be sitting in third starting the final week is kind of nerve-wracking, not so much because of the money, but mostly because of the notoriety, you know, being, you know, at the top of the totem pole when it all ends. So I'm trying to keep it cool, but it's a little tough.
Well, hey, man, the cat's out of the bag. You're a celebrity now. You've been on
this
show.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, you'll probably be the new host starting next week, I would think.
Hey, we have Sharkhandrick West on the show, man.
We did.
That's our claim to fame.
Yeah, and that'll probably be well, obviously, next to Kyle Reed, Sharkhandrick West will be our biggest guest we've ever had. Hey, Kyle, tell me what's the plan for football tomorrow on Saturday and then Christmas Day, Monday? What are you doing? Are you watching it with family? Are you just trying to duck away from the family to check your scores off? And what's sort of your game plan for taking in football this week? Or are you just ignoring it because of how nerve-wracking it is?
I might watch football on TV, but I probably will not check the website, the FPC website, once. I don't want to ruin my Christmas. I mean, if I look later on in the night, it's great, then fantastic. But I have one player going Sunday. I only have Bell. I mean, Bell's a big player, but I only have Bell going Sunday. So everybody's going tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night. So it's a little – I don't really want to watch much football tomorrow, I can tell you that.
I totally understand. My season probably would have turned out better had I actually watched football during the season, at least some of it. And I could have found out the errors of my ways in lineup submission and blind bidding. Let's talk about the four teams that you had drafted in the Football Guys Players Championship, Kyle. Essentially, they were all picked roughly within the span of 1 week late in the year. This is a point in the season where there's not a ton of value out there. ADP has sort of normalized. How did you avoid drafting four teams that ended up being very similar? Because the teams that you had, obviously, you had three make the championship round, which is an extraordinarily great percentage. But talk a little bit about how you either subconsciously or actively tried to make them different so that they would have a chance to really have that opportunity to be exciting and explosive these final 3 weeks.
Right. I don't mind it as much if my teams are similar, because if I pick the right players, being similar isn't that big of a deal. But I wait that long mostly because of injuries. I know waiting that long sometimes, you know, somebody who was a sleeper in the middle, you know, preseason week two is no longer a sleeper and they're going in the fourth or fifth round instead of in the 12th round. But I wait mostly because of injuries, honestly. I don't want to be drafting Jordy Nelson or Kelvin Benjamin in 2015 and have them tear their ACL and then I'm, you know, that's my second round pick gone. So I like waiting. I always do my teams just about the last week in August, early September, just around the start of the season. And I found that it is a problem seeing all of the sleepers now turn into, you know, fourth, fifth round picks. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, you know, waiting till last week of the, right before the season starts.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's still guys that ended up going in the second half of drafts, you know, even that late in the season. I think about a guy like Terrell Pryor who really crushed it the early portion of the season. I mean, he could have been had late. Jamison Crowder was still going in the double-digit rounds too. So there still are guys out there that are sleepers that you can add on to your team even when, you know, sort of everybody knows about them. Everybody has the same information about them.
Superstar Kenneth Farrell, though.
It can affect you. Someone like Arian Foster, for example, who started off, you know, not having a team at the beginning of the preseason. Then he was on the Dolphins and he was soaring up draft boards. So I drafted him on one team in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, and that came back to bite me pretty badly.
So. Let's talk about another great sleeper. Trevor Siemian lit up the Chiefs for 368 and 3 scores. Last time you played them, you could have gotten him for nothing. But anyway, tell us why you like Philip Rivers now in your third place overall teams lineup this weekend.
Over Siemian,
right.
Rivers, if I'm going to go with consistency, I want to go with Philip Rivers. Yeah, he has depleted wide receiver core. He's playing for a team that's not really playoff bound. However, Philip Rivers is still a very good quarterback. And the truth is that Siemian, you know, lit up the Chiefs at home. Playing in Kansas City is one of the hardest tasks in football, without a doubt. They have a very good, you know, defense. They're going to play them hard. The Chiefs are trying to get that top spot and, you know, the top wild card spot. I like Siemian for sure, but if I'm going with anybody, I'm going any quarterback that's playing the Cleveland Browns, without a doubt.
Hey, Balky, let's do an ACT thing real quick.
Oh, for God's sake.
Philip Rivers is to Frank Gore as Trevor Siemian is to...
I'm not going to say it.
Kenneth Farrell.
What you're trying to do is you're baiting me into ripping on myself.
But you have to
be more tricky about it. You can't just like.
My jokes are obvious.
Yeah, it was very obvious, very overt. Hey, let me ask you something, Kyle. When you talk about Philip Rivers against the Browns this week, you obviously think that he is going to be good enough to start for you. Who is going to be on the receiving end of the bulk of his yardage and touchdowns? Is it Tyrell Williams? Does he come back to form? Does Antonio Gates have a big week to close out the fantasy season? Is it Dontrell Inman? I mean, there's a lot of options out there. Who do you think is the Chargers pass catcher to start this week?
I think it's Tyrell Williams, without a doubt. The problem is that Philip Rivers always has injured wide receivers. You know, he had Keenan Allen went down. He had Travis Benjamin went down, came back, still injured. I like Tyrell Williams, though, in terms of talent, the best. Antonio Gates has been great for a very long time, but this season he started off okay, played well at the middle of the season, but kind of tailed off at the end now. So I'm going to probably say Tyrell Williams. I think he can stretch the field better. I think he's just an overall better player than Inman.
The 2016 Football Guys Players Championship heads into its final week, and we have the third-place team owner, Kyle Reed, on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour tonight. Kyle, in 2014, in this same contest, you did not cash. In 2015, you cashed with two teams in the championship round. This year, three, as I alluded to earlier, three of your four teams made it to the championship round, including this one that is in third place overall. What have the modifications been? What have you adapted to better over the last couple of years that has made your success increase each of the last couple of years?
Well, when you're going from just a regular fantasy league with your buddies to a high-stakes one, a lot of things have to be adapted. They have to change. The biggest one for me with that, it's not even close, is the use of free agents. It's getting, you know, picking up free agents. It's picking up somebody on the waiver wire. And my first 2 years, I probably still had $900 left on all my leagues. This year, I don't think I had more than 150 or 200 left in any league. You know, picking up some good, solid players, Taylor Gabriel and Trevor Siemian, and then, you know, players when you need to just fill in a bench spot for someone who's either gone on IR. You know, on one team, I had Eddie Lacy go off, and, you know, I had to pick up a running back real quick. That's probably one of my biggest ones. My other one is probably the drafting of the quarterback. You know, when you're new to fantasy, you think the quarterback is the best position. You want to draft, you know, Aaron Rodgers in the first or second round. Until you realize that in the 11th round, 12th round, you can get Matt Ryan or Derek Carr or Jameis Winston and get just as many points. And then in that first or second round pick, you can get a stud running back or wide receiver. And that's the biggest adaptation for me is knowing when to take certain positions and how to fill in those positions. You know, drafting as many running backs, wide receivers, tight ends as possible.
You know, with the earlier point that you brought up, I think my adjustment in placing blind bids and waivers, these are 12-team, 20-man roster leagues. the guys that you're looking at picking off the waiver wire in this format, where everybody's trying to be ahead of the curve and everybody's trying to get that difference maker, it's so difficult that first year you make the transition when you're looking at the players that are available and you look like, I don't want that guy. What are the chances this guy does anything? And it's so easy to say no, because your home league waiver wire is always so much more juicy, and there's always players that you can easily, I mean, anybody can tell that these guys are difference makers and you can pick them up right away. I think the thing is, with at this level, you kind of have to not only be ahead of the curve, but you kind of got to take you got to invest in some shots. And I think that investing in a Taylor Gabriel shot, investing in a Trevor Siemian shot, even if it wasn't something that these guys have not translated to every week starts for you, you didn't really need them to be that. You just need these little spurts of productivity. And I think I'm trying to make this point. I just threw my pen at Dave.
You're making it in person.
Once you sort of figure that out, that listen, these guys might only be short term, but I need to buy them because they're going to help me get to the championship round, I think the better off you'll be.
Right. Exactly. And the other thing for me with the waiver wire is, sometimes you're afraid to admit defeat with a certain player that you drafted. You know, if you drafted a seventh round player, that just isn't panning out. You know, you don't really want to give up on them because you feel too proud to give up on them. But at the same time, if there's a running back sitting there that could go off, you know, in weeks 7, 8, 9, you have to take a chance.
No, so Kyle, you said that you used to end up with like $900 left, and now you've gotten it down to 150 left. You're supposed to have nothing left at the end.
Well, not necessarily nothing.
You're very smart. See, being in the insurance business is very good for you. You're conservative. I'm sure you're awesome for your clients because you're given that whole extra window in case there's just something. In case there's something extra.
Exactly.
These are affluent people that he represents too.
Yeah, I saved as much as I could for the last few weeks right before it got to the championship round, just in case. You know, I love my favorites over the past few weeks for the waiver wire was kickers and defense. You know, I kept switching kicker in and out every other week just because. And that's the beauty of having it, is having it, you know, a few dollars.
Especially having money during the playoffs when there's only four people, because invariably one dummy doesn't know the rules, another person forgets, and then so you're bidding against one person.
Exactly. Yeah, and especially in those last 2 weeks.
And then that person has $8 left.
Well, and I'll bring this. I always like to tell this story.
And his name is me.
The very first year I played in the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, I was in one of the – well, actually, it was just one I Want Vegas League back then, and ended up making the playoffs. And my I don't remember who my quarterback was, but it was terrible. And we were looking at who is available. And you're like, oh, Tim Tebow's out there. I'm like, Tebow? I don't want to pick up Tebow. I mean, this is going to end, this run that he's on. And I had because I had enough money.
Was that his magic season?
Yeah. When all these teams made it to the playoffs, I had more money than them. So I spent $280, $290 on him when all these other guys had like $250, $260 left. I got him and then ended up winning the league because of that. Because I kept that money around at the end, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
And
all it takes is one.
That's right.
And
exactly right.
God loves Tim Tebow.
God does love Tim Tebow. He's still lukewarm on Eric Faulkman.
Not anymore, though. All right. Dante Moncrief is expected to return tomorrow against the Raiders. So is Moncrief a guy who actually finished his top 30 this week? And also, our owner is better off benching him.
I could do without the whole just
my side comment.
Yeah, I mean your analysis of the question as you're reading it.
Sorry about that. Our owner's better off benching him also because of his inconsistent targets in spite of Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Dante Moncrief's an interesting one. I would say this week top 30, but that's putting it mildly. The Colts offense just has so many weapons. But the biggest factor with the Colts is that offensive line. If Andrew Luck has less than 2 seconds to throw the ball and get rid of the ball, he's going to a tight end. He's going to a running back. He doesn't have the time to stretch the field with somebody like Moncrief or T.Y. Hilton. You know, against, unfortunately, my Jets, he did have that ability. But, you know, against most defenses, especially if Khalil Mack is bearing down on you, he's not going to have much time to scabbard in the ball. I like Dante Moncrief. I think he has a lot of upside. I think he's a very, very good wide receiver. But it's hard to sometimes pick that when you have an offensive line that is just not good. The Raiders' secondary isn't good either, to be honest. Carl Joseph, especially if he plays, it'll make a difference. But I do like Moncrief as a top 30, but I'm not saying wide receiver one or two, for sure. he's a flex.
Yeah, I mean, Moncrief, his production too, the last few weeks, really since he's come back, has kind of been touchdown dependent because he's not seeing, you know, this, you know, double digit
right.
targets and consistently.
Right.
And I think anytime you have that, you have to, honestly, Kyle, it's the type of play that you might start if you're a team chasing you and the two other teams ahead of you in the Football Guys Players Championship, trying to be different and trying to make up some ground
exactly.
with
right.
you know, more of a wild card start there with Moncrief.
Right. I mean, Moncrief's a great player, but it's been a lot of factors that come into play for sure. Twain Allen's seen a lot of targets lately. You know, Gore's getting the ball more. You know, he's thrown it to Dunbar. It's just a lot of difference. You know, there's a lot of it's a lot of uncertainty. The Raiders defense is not the best, but they're getting better for sure. The Colts are looking for a playoff spot too. So I think he could be a good flex this week, especially if you want to throw a wild card in there, but he's not my favorite pick.
The only thing I'm going to disagree with is the Moncrief's a great player comment. I own Moncrief in some dynasty.
Right.
He's still unproven. He gets hurt a lot.
I don't think he's unproven.
He's the only guy who's not a shrimp on the whole team. Everybody else is like 5'6". Like Adam
receiver.
Adam Schefter is like taller than them.
That is a bit of an exaggeration as well.
And he's still not that good. He's got Andrew Luck, and he's still not that good.
Well, I mean, you could make the case, as Kyle was saying, how much time is Andrew Luck having to get it to Moncrief with that offensive? I mean, once again, we're talking
right.
about the offensive line for the Colts this season letting them down. And I think that
right.
if Indy had their druthers, they might want that Dorsett pick back.
No,
to,
okay, so
listen, Dave.
I'm not going to spend all night on it, but I mean, 2015, he had 64 for 733 and 6 touchdowns on 105 targets.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't done crap.
Well, okay, but had the Colts had a great offensive line or even an average offensive line.
Luck was hurt last year as well.
And you have Matt, you know, the corpse of Matt Hasselbeck throwing him the ball. I mean, clearly he does have some things that are working against him.
My only point is that I think he's still unproven as an NFL player. We do not know if he's any good.
You know, you have him on all these – do you have him in Blake Harrington Dynasty?
No, I have him on one team.
Oh, okay.
Because
I would have loved to make an off-season deal.
Happily give him away for a future second.
Well, we will happily get to a break here and end Dave's Dante Moncrief hate fest here.
Sorry, Kyle.
Kyle Reed is our guest tonight on the third place team at Football Guys Players Championship. We're going to talk to him about what his stance is on looking at matchups in weeks 14 to 16 during the draft. So that's all coming up after this. Eric Balkman, Dave Gerzak, you're listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, and this is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Saturday football is going on tomorrow or right now if you are listening to the replay, or it already happened if you're listening to the downloaded version of this show. The show, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. It's Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak talking to Kyle Reed, the third place team in the Football Guys Players Championship. Before I get to our next question, which I'd love to hear Kyle's opinion on, Dave is still perplexed at something, and I don't know if it's the Moncrief discussion.
I think I'm just bitter about Moncrief.
All right,
I drafted him.
That could be a team name: Bitter About Moncrief. Bam is the moniker on that one.
He's not as good as the Moncrief that was on the Bucks for all those years.
Sydney,
yeah,
oh,
much
he was
better,
great.
Much better professional
just
athlete.
Crushed it. Yeah,
I'll take Sydney Moncrief any day over the other Moncrief.
Kyle, let me ask you something. When you drafted these teams in early September, knowing that you had been to the championship round before and you had won money in the past, did you look at who the guys that you were drafting? Did you look at who they would be playing in the championship sprint in the hopes that you could actually get some favorable matchups for these players in addition to not only what they would do in weeks, you know, 1 through 13, but what they could do for you when all the money was on the line? How much of a role did that play in your decision-making on who to pick?
None at all. But the way I look at it is if I'm drafting for the season, and if I draft players based on their matchups in weeks 13 through 15, and they don't help my team in weeks 1 through 12, then I see no point in drafting them. I don't even look at bye weeks, honestly. I have some teams that have had 6-7 players on the same bye. It doesn't really affect me at all. I don't really draft based on matchups. You know, there's certain players that I'll look at, like if they play in a certain division, you know, they have to play the Seahawks twice, or they have to play, you know, a certain deep, you know, tough defense twice. You know, I'll take that into account, but I'm drafting for the long haul, and I want to be able to win in the first 12 weeks. If I can't win in the first 12 weeks, then the other weeks don't matter. So I'm just trying to draft the best possible team. The numbers, the bye weeks, and the matchups to me really don't matter. The player plays as well as they're going to.
Good stuff, Walkie.
I totally agree. You know, this is something that we had talked about in years past, and I think that I once believed that, look, all that matters is weeks 14 to 16. AJ Kelsall says this in drafts all the time in the chat room. What people don't understand is no money's paid out in weeks 1 to 11 or whatever it is, and which I don't think is entirely true, by the way. He always says that. And, I was always of the belief, you know, well, not always, but for several years, I was like, I need to be looking at who these guys play in weeks 14 to 16. And now it's just, I can't, I mean, it was never the reason I would pick a player, yeah. But it's so hard to put any kind of stock in that anymore.
It seems like there's more right. year-to-year variance in defense quality.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kyle? Yeah. I mean, do you think that the problem is that defenses can't be predicted?
I'll go back to my Jets here. The Jets a few years ago were a team, you know, nobody wanted to run against, nobody wanted to pass against, and now it's just they're not good. So, I mean, there are certain players that I do kind of look forward with. Like, I drafted Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Le'Veon Bell fell to the second for me. That's great. But I drafted him with the potential that knowing that those first 3 weeks I couldn't start him. So I drafted him knowing that he was going to help me from his weeks 4 through 14, 15. He's the exception for me. It's a suspended player that – you know, I know is going to do well for me after they, you know, end their suspension.
All right, let's talk about two superstars that we're not really sure
Kenneth
what's going to
happen.
Kenneth
Farrow and who else? Dante Moncrief?
Trevor Siemian.
Is this the
Farrow Siemian hookup?
The Farrow Moncrief question we've been asking everybody.
Look, if you have Siemian and Farrow, you know you're winning championships.
Let me ask you something here. Better shot at the Hall of Fame, Dante Moncrief, Kenneth Farrow. And of course, I'm talking about next year. No, go ahead, Dave.
We're talking about AJ Green and Julio Jones. I mean, these guys are going to blow up this week if they play. Which one of these two guys should players feel more comfortable starting in championship week?
I'm going to say Julio, and I don't think it's even that close for me. I drafted Julio on more teams than AJ Green. So I'm a little biased, but not completely. I love AJ Green. AJ Green is one of my favorite players to watch. I drafted him very high in some leagues. That being said, he's missed 4 games with a torn muscle. A torn muscle is the biggest part of that. You know, he's not coming back from a knee problem or from an ankle injury. He's coming back from a torn muscle. Julio at 70%, is one of the best receivers in the league. But the other biggest thing is that Atlanta is vying for a playoff spot while Cincinnati is not. So for me, that's the biggest difference, is the importance of them playing in this game. AJ Green doesn't really serve that big of a purpose this week, while Julio is needed by his team.
Totally makes sense that Cincinnati has nothing to play for. Tyler Eifert's already screwed you over in Carrington, Dave.
Yep. Yeah. And you get the Wayne Ellis Excel-based spreadsheets of approval.
Digital Excel-based spreadsheets. Again, I always make it seem like Wayne has this massive binder. It is all digital now.
You know, he could use Lotus 1-2-3 for all I care. I mean, he's just that good.
You know, I have a friend in Brazil, and I was talking to him about, you know, I said, we were talking, oh, who's this week's guest on the show? I said, oh, Wayne Ellis. And he's like, yeah, that's that Colts fan guy. I said, yeah. He's like, you need to tell
this
him.
This week's guest is Wayne Ellis.
No, this was back in the day.
Oh, right.
And I said, you know, and he's like, yeah, you need to tell him to start keeping all his spreadsheets on the computer. 70% of our rainforest has been wiped out printing off sheets for this guy for his spreadsheets every single year. And clearly Wayne is a very green, very environmentally conscious guy. Switched it, and you know what? He's still dominating, still doing well, and saving. You know what? Ozone layer, a little bit thicker now.
Wayne Ellis, here's a piece of advice: make you $5,000 a year. Put your stuff on Google Docs and sell the invite for $25.
Right. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Totally.
And if you ever find out they're sharing it, you're cut off forever. You're gone.
Yeah. I mean,
you're welcome, Wayne.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who are we to question Wayne Ellis? And I certainly wouldn't.
Sorry, Kyle, strictly
coming from Dave. Kyle, let's ask you a couple of emails that came in for you this week. This first one's from Will in Orlando, Florida. He writes, "Hi, Kyle, in my championship this week, I have to decide between Sammy Watkins against the Finns or Steve, the Icon Smith at Pittsburgh Christmas night. Which guy do I need to start? Good luck in the FPC." That is Will in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for the email, Will. So if you were making this decision, Kyle, I'm assuming this is a PPR league. You can only play one of these guys. Is it Watkins at home against Miami, or is it Steve Smith in Pittsburgh?
I would probably have to go with Steve Smith. Pittsburgh secondary is not very good. Steve Smith is a very passionate person. Baltimore is vying for a playoff spot. He always plays well against his, you know, enemies, and he definitely does not like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he could have a very good game this weekend for sure. He has a very favorable matchup. He's playing on Christmas night. I see it all settling that way. Sammy Watkins is the wild card. You know, he could go off. He could get you three receptions, you know, 105 yards and a touchdown, or he could get you, you know, two receptions for 20 yards. Tyrod Taylor hasn't been playing well at all the last few weeks. Rex Ryan's on the hot seat on his way out. It's just, it doesn't bode well for the Bills this week and for the rest of the season, while Baltimore is heading in the right direction. And I think it's just an all-around better matchup for sure.
Totally agree. Everything you said about Watkins, and I do agree with Smith as well, but let me just add this aspect to Steve Smith. And I think Dave, you'll agree with me on this. This could be Steve Smith's final primetime national TV game of his career. This is a massive rivalry game, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. All eyes will be on the icon. The stars come out. Steve Smith, a new receiving record, 400-plus yards this game.
This is his Hall of Fame. This is what makes his Hall of Fame case even more cemented.
You know what? They may just present him with the bust after this game. I mean, that's entirely possible that Steve Smith goes off. So, yeah, I agree with you. I would play Smith over Watkins. Tony in Los Angeles, California. Hello, Kyle. Ran away with an FFPC 35DE and will be using my prize to enter the FPC in 2017 for the first time. What's the best advice you can give me so I don't, and I'm not going to say it, S-H-I-T, the bed? That's Tony in Los Angeles, California. So we kind of talked about this earlier, Kyle, about the transitions, the adjustments you made coming from, you know, playing in a, are we going to call it a Carrington League? A Carrington local league with your friends and
still need a cool term for
Jimmy me. From the office. So the transition you made from that league to be successful in the Football Guys Players Championship, what's the one piece of advice that new players should know next year so that maybe they don't, maybe they kind of get ahead of the learning curve a little bit?
Okay. There's two things I would do. The first is do your research, know your stuff, know exactly who you're drafting, the schemes they play in, you know, the if they're serving a backup role or if they're going to be prevalent in the offense. But the biggest thing for me is just flex. It's just, you can start three tight ends. You can start four wide receivers. You can start four running backs. Don't worry about the quarterback position. Draft as many running backs and wide receivers, and especially in an FPC where tight end is a premium, 1.5 per reception, draft as many as you can. That's the biggest thing I can tell someone is just load up on depth. Add as many running backs, especially running backs, because it's become a pass-happy league and running backs have kind of fallen, you know, to the back. I would draft as many of those players as you possibly can in those first, you know, eight rounds. After that, focus on a quarterback. You know, if you can get a quarterback in the 9th, 10th, 11th round, that's going to put up, you know, maybe five or six top 12 weeks. It's worth it. I mean, I'd rather draft, you know, a top 5-6 running back in the first two, you know, first two rounds than a number 3 quarterback in the 4th round.
You know, that's an interesting point, Balkin. We had a guest a number of weeks ago that was talking about how many wide receivers they were able to pick up in waivers. And if you're able to trot out, like, you know, DeMarco Murray was a good value this
year. Yes, fantastic.
So if, let's say you picked up Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson, like, you know, like you have on your team, and then you had DeMarco Murray and some other, like, guy that was pretty consistently decent. Like let's say
Kenneth Farrow, for instance.
No, I mean a good player.
Like, let's Dante Moncrief. Sorry, running back.
Darren Sproles. Then all you need is, like, two wide receivers. I mean, and you're going to get one probably in the middle rounds, and you can pick one up on wide receivers. You know, it does make a lot of sense. This is, like, the anti-zero RB theory.
Yes.
It's the RB theory.
Oh, I like that.
What do
you
think?
The running back theorem. That is fantastic.
We're going with the
just
RB theory.
Kyle, listen, you're getting credit on this. We're dubbing this the running back theorem. Oh, that's fantastic, Dave. I'm calling one of my teams next year the running back theorem. I really like that.
All right, Kyle. We've actually learned a lot on this show. But we're gonna
Learn every week. I feel like sometimes for you this is review day. This is all brand new info to me.
This is like advanced placement stuff for me. Give us an early round stud, Kyle, that people should seriously consider benching this week, as well as a player that not many people will start this weekend that you think will have a good performance. And hopefully you mentioned somebody in my dynasty championship so I can get a little extra input.
God.
All right. My star this week, unfortunately, I have on one team, not in the FBC, in a smaller league. It's Jordy Nelson. I love Jordy Nelson. He's playing at home. He's been playing great the past few weeks. He's actually been playing pretty well this season, given he's coming back from injury. But he's going up against the Minnesota secondary that shuts down the number one receiver almost every week. they have a very good secondary, Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith, and I just don't see it boding well for him. I could see someone like Randall Cobb having a big week, Ty Montgomery having a big week. But Jordy Nelson is not someone I'm saying sit. All I'm saying is that I wouldn't really want to put him out there as my number, as my wide receiver one, maybe at two, but I wouldn't say sit him for sure. I'm a little cautious of him this week for sure.
All right, cool. So who's the guy that the sleeper guy?
My sleeper is actually a first-round pick. My sleeper is Todd Gurley.
Yeah,
Todd Gurley.
That's funny.
Todd Gurley has been awful this year. He has been absolutely terrible. There are people taking him ahead of me in the FPC drafts with a 4th, 5th pick, and I didn't understand it. I was one person who just wanted to avoid Todd Gurley at all costs. Jeff Fisher is not a great coach, and he's gone. You know, for their sake. You got a rookie quarterback coming in and Chase Keenum, and I just didn't understand Gurley having a good year, especially with that offensive line being as bad as it is, but this is as good a week as any. The San Francisco 49ers defense is atrocious. They give up an entirely too many rushing yards, and especially with Goff behind the reins now, I think they're going to try to run the ball as much as possible, and I can see him having, you know, 140 yards plus this week and a touchdown or two.
So for all of you people who have been auto-starting Jordy Nelson and auto-benching Todd Gurley, before you do it this week, just give that lineup a second look and make sure that you're really going to be doing that based on Kyle Reed's advice tonight. Kyle, it has been a pleasure tonight. Love hearing from you. Your sort of rise the last couple of years in the Football Guys Players Championship has been very cool to talk about, very cool to reminisce upon tonight. I wish you best of luck the rest of the way. It's tight. I mean, what are you down in the overall lead right now? I know it's got to be less than 20.
It's more actually because of last night's game. Someone vaulted went over me. They had Odell Beckham and the Philly defense, so I'm down. I'm in 8th now. I think I'm like just about 30 points out of first, but that person who is in first now had 3 players going last night. So
that doesn't matter.
That
doesn't count.
When you put up a 300 this week, nobody's going to be talking about what Beckham and the Eagles defense did on Thursday night. We're rooting for you. We wish you the best. This could be a magnificent payday for you. So hopefully the ball bounces your way there. Happy holidays for you. I hope that you still are able to enjoy Christmas as much as possible. Enjoy the games. And you can just check Tuesday morning, see if you won.
I will do my best to try to enjoy the games and the holidays, but we'll see. But I appreciate you guys.
All right.
It was great.
You bet,
hopefully,
Kyle.
We'll see you in a few weeks.
Yeah. Well. Hey, listen. You win it all. You're coming right back here, and I will be out of a job.
I can't wait. I hope I will be there. I hope you still have a job, but I will be back.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Thanks, Kyle. Happy holidays to you, man.
You too.
Kyle Reed, the 3rd-place team in the Football Guys Players Championship. I refuse to call him the 8th-place team in the Football Guys Players Championship.
I hope you're not out of a job. I can't host this thing.
No, Kyle would be hosting it with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
why I would be out of a job.
That's the implication?
Yes. It should just be – honestly, that's what should be like the person who finishes last in the main event every year should have to co-host this show. Like that should be the penalty.
That's actually a cool idea.
Yeah.
We should have the last place person come on, not co-host, but come on as a guest. But they have to try. They can't abandon their team, and they have to put in.
So would we do that? Would we like last place in the championship round? Because then that was literally last place.
Yeah,
See.
No. Or how about this? Last place in the main event of someone that we are kind of know. So
way down there that we know that they weren't tanking.
But you know, somebody that wouldn't be insulted by. I mean, that they find it funny. You have some sort of.
Yeah.
We know a lot of people.
I think we know enough.
We could find someone who's
they'd have good humor about it,
yeah.
For sure. Okay. All right. I'm in.
I'm sure Wayne Ellis drafts a few dogs now and again.
You know, it would be funny. What if it's
dogs would flee?
What if David Hubbard ends up winning the main event
and it's him,
and he's got the best team and the worst team?
We should ask him all about his crappy team.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I knew that one didn't have a chance. I didn't even set my lineup.
That's not
one.
How he talks. Tell me how he talks.
I'm not doing Hubbard. Absolutely not.
Do Hubbard.
No. It's not going to happen. We got to get to a break anyway.
Hey, Boston.
All right. That was Dave. That was not me. David Hubbard.
Check out my teams.
David Hubbard, Dave Gerzak, and Eric Balkman coming back after this on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Welcome back to the HSFF Hour as we roll on here in week 16.
Why won't you do Hubbard?
I'm not doing David.
But, I mean, he wouldn't be insulted. Probably.
He probably would enjoy it. I am not comfortable doing that.
Right, you got to work on Hubbard then.
No, trust me, it's good. Like, I can do it. Like,
we can do it on the high stakes slowdown.
I'm trying to think. I know I've done it for somebody before. I think Chris Lambert actually has heard my David Hubbard, and she said it was good. But I honestly, I can't remember. I know I did it for somebody, and they're like, oh, my God, that's spot on.
Whatever, let's move on. You're going to be a jerk about it.
I will be a jerk about it. I won't be a jerk about this.
Got a question for Eric Dave or tonight's guest, send them a tweet at HSFF Hour on Twitter. Email the show at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Post it in the chat room during the broadcast. Hashtag your tweet with HSFF or just smack Eric in the head. That's highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com or at HSFF Hour on Twitter.
You know, we got HBO going on in the studio right now. Did you ever watch The Night Of? That miniseries?
No, I don't think so.
Man, you should have watched that. That's something you should watch.
Oh, yeah?
It's like, 8 episodes long, I think. It's a closed, like, true. A lot of people call it True Detective Season 3. Got really good reviews.
Might have heard. Yeah. I heard it was good.
It was very good. Our mutual friend Aaron said it was great.
All right.
And you know he's never wrong.
I watched Stranger Things. That was great. I watched that AO or AI or whatever the hell it's called. That's the new one on Netflix. IO. I watched, like, 3 episodes of that.
Have not heard of it. Did not see Stranger Things. Don't give me that. There's plenty of great shows. I'm going to cease. Like, anytime somebody's like, oh, I haven't seen that movie or I haven't seen that TV show, I'm going to stop. There is an overload of media options in our culture, in our society now, and I refuse to rip on somebody who hasn't seen something. Like, there's a zillion options out there.
If someone says, okay, this is cool, and you put the name in Google – and you go to IMDb, and the rating is like an 8.5 or higher, you should watch it. All these people like it.
Okay, fine.
That's the number.
I'll watch it if I get time. I barely have time to keep up with stuff I normally watch now.
That's fine. Yeah. I've heard this song and dance before.
It's not a song and dance. It's fact and reality. Phil in Croart, Wyoming.
You can still check it on Swarm.
Phil, you rip on that, too. That takes like 2 seconds. You understand? I don't think you understand concept of time.
Black Mirror on Netflix. I've seen a few of those. They are excellent. Thanks, Andrew. Black Mirror on Netflix.
Phil in Croart, Wyoming.
Our friend Aaron likes that as well.
I know the Patriots usually try to take out the other team's best weapon, but do you guys have any idea who that will be this week? Brandon Marshall seems to have given up, and Robbie Anderson is about as inconsistent as they come. Does this mean it's actually ... Bilal Powell? If Forte is out, should I actually bench Powell in favor of my other options?
No.
They are. You didn't even hear the other options.
He's like top 5.
They are Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. Still saying.
Flex Powell.
Still.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thomas Rawls and Doug Martin are his other options. Merry Christmas, guys. Phil in Croart, Wyoming. Phil, thank you for the well-thought-out email.
That is a very nice email.
All right. So, Bilal Powell, does he get the Belichick treatment this week?
You know, even if he does, I don't think he can truly be stopped with Forte out, and Forte is going to be out. Just because he gets so many passes out of the backfield.
Yeah,
Belichick is probably kicking himself. He just wishes he had this guy on his team.
Yeah.
He's like the ultimate combo Belichick back.
Right.
And he will probably, after the game, even if they win like 35-10, he'll be like, and Powell's a like, great player. He'll come out and say something.
Probably sign Powell to a contract.
If he's a free agent, he probably will.
Yeah. I mean like at the game. Like, we really like to have you on our team next year.
Great, you Belichick.
Put your autograph on the bottom of this contract right here. It'd be great.
I think you have to start Powell. I really do. I think even against the Patriots, even if they don't score a lot. He's truly the centerpiece of that team's offense.
You make the argument stopping Bilal Powell? You can stop Bilal Powell, and he can still get like 8 catches for 50 yards.
Yeah, he's like the number one receiver on the team, and he's the running back. Such a high floor.
I asked you 2 questions.
He has like a 14 floor.
Guess how many targets Brandon Marshall had last week?
8.
11.
Okay.
Guess how many he caught?
5.
1. 1 out of 11.
And what did Powell have, like 13 catches?
I don't know. Like in the first quarter, it was insane.
The one league I made the championship solely because of Bilal Powell.
Yeah. Steve in Beaumont, Texas. Sounds like AJ Green is playing, but I am having a hard time trusting him. Can you guys play a would you rather with him? Thanks for the email, Steve in Beaumont, Texas. I think we can arrange a little holiday cheer here.
Would you rather get a massage from a man or surgery from a female doctor?
Would you have sex with Cleveland if it meant you could have sex with Angelina Jolie?
Who would you rather do? What would you guys rather be? Who would you rather start a small business with?
Who would you rather have sex with?
Do you want breakfast or would you rather chew on your own ass as usual?
What?
Angelina Jolie, now single, bulky.
AJ Green, but have you probably haven't paid attention to the stuff that Chelsea Handler said about Angelina Jolie.
No.
She is laying into her, like saying how she's not at all surprised that Brad Pitt acted the way he did, allegedly acted the way he did.
She seems like an interesting person.
Jolie's crazy.
Yeah, didn't she was with Billy Bob Thornton or whatever.
Remember
anyone who has a romantic relationship with Billy Bob Thornton, right, got to be a freak.
Yeah. Do you remember when
Bad Santa?
She won the best actress award at the Oscars and then open mouth kissed her brother. You remember that?
I don't watch the Oscars. I know you have parties with you and your girlfriend.
Yeah, that's not true. I do have parties, but I don't have like girlfriends that.
Oh, it's the Oscars!
All right. But I had to rewind it. I'm like, did I just see that? And I did. All right, let's get into this. Would you rather? AJ Green is playing.
Trying to get away from the Oscar parties topic. Right.
AJ Green at Houston or Allen Robinson at home against Tennessee.
Allen Robinson makes me want to puke.
Yeah.
And I did like him coming into the preseason. Admittedly, I screwed that one up. I got to take A.J. Green.
Assuming A.J. Green is inactive, I'm going Allen Robinson. Otherwise, I agree.
I'm glad this isn't turning into the Julio Jones show.
It's already turned into the Dante Moncrief show. What about Tyler Lockett at home against Arizona?
I'll start A.J. Green over Lockett. I can't trust Lockett. Other people can. I can't. Sorry.
All right, I think – let me bounce this around.
Lockett could have a great game.
Let's go with the number one receiver in Jacksonville. Of course, I'm talking about Marquise Lee.
No, Green.
Okay, what about this? Interesting one. How about Mr. Consistent Kenny Britt going against the hapless San Francisco 49ers in L.A.?
Green.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
a hobbled Green, a guy that could get hurt again, a guy who's nothing – well, not that Kenny Britt has anything to play for except for his next contract, but –
yeah, I mean, it's such a talent.
Okay, that's fine. All right, these last two are going to be interesting then. What about Pierre Garçon at Chicago or A.J. Green?
I'll still start Green.
Garcon's been really good the last few weeks.
Chicago's defense has been actually, like, respectable.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson, 7 for $1.24 last week.
Respectable? I mean, that doesn't mean that one player can't do well.
Yeah, Pierre Garçon could be that one player doing well this thing. All right, final one. In a game with the total currently sitting at 112, which I'm as shocked as you are, Tampa at New Orleans, Willie Snead.
I'll take Snead in that one.
See, that one I would take Green. Like, just, I mean, maybe
I like the shootout. Snead's healthy and he's got a shootout.
It's the Fleener in me showing through.
You know what's an interesting one is like Amari Cooper versus AJ Green, because Cooper has struggled.
What is going on? This is the second year in a row that this guy is just taking December off. And I'm sure he's trying hard, but why is he
– Hashtag Amari Cooper, man.
Why has he sucked the last 2 years in December? I mean, this has been really – you know, we should get on this is Farrell Elliott. He could probably give us the inside info on
this. Yeah, he's a big Raiders dude.
Speaking of Farrell Elliott, you know how he represents that band, the Quiet Hollers?
Yes.
They're going to be in Wausau coming up.
So for all of the local listeners,
it's about
in Wausau,
2 hour drive north from where we are.
There's like three gas stations.
The reason I bring it up is one of my buddies from college actually liked that post that they're going to be at this amphitheater.
The H is silent.
And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool that like
amphibian.
These two sections of my world are coming together that he liked this. So hopefully that helps you out, Steve in Beaumont, Texas, with AJ Green.
Amphitheater? I use a hard P. I mean, is it amphitheater? What's better?
Amphitheater.
I might be wrong.
I think it's amphitheater. It's not amphitheater.
I say it to Wisconsin.
It's like where you go to watch a bunch of ampas perform. It's not an amphitheater.
They always have amps there, though, like a guitar.
The chat room clearly is not Googling this right now. I feel like somebody should have chimed
in
on this.
The Aunt
Jemima, P. So it's amphitheater.
But amphi is the correct, you know, the Latin amphi. Or maybe it's Greek. Who the hell knows? My daughter would know. She would studies a lot of crap. It is amphi, but I always pronounce it amphitheater.
He never heard the H.
Yeah.
Aunt Jemima said that.
But technically it is. You know what? I bet really, like, really well-educated people say, The amphitheater. I bet they say it.
Yeah,
like,
that could
like,
be.
Like a rich person.
The amphitheater.
Oh, yes. Let me perform at the amphitheater.
Season's greetings, Jesus and Santa. I have been surviving the past couple of weeks with Taylor Gabriel in my lineup with no Julio Jones. In the championship, though, this week, I don't think I'll get away with it again. Would you play Gabriel, Snead, or Wallace? Peace and humptiness forever. That is Jerry in Bear Lake, Michigan.
Humpty.
Yeah, peace and humptiness forever. Taylor Gabriel, Willie Snead, or Mike Wallace are his choices here, Dave. Taylor Gabriel is at Carolina. Willie Snead, of course, at home against Tampa. And Mike Wallace is going to be playing against Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, his old team, on Christmas afternoon.
So is Wallace,
Snead, and Gabriel.
And who is Gabriel playing one more time? Sorry, Wallace.
Yeah, that's all right. Gabriel is at Carolina.
I'll take Gabriel. I like Gabriel. Carolina's past you.
Gabriel over Snead, huh?
Yeah.
Which, so by the transitive property,
then
you would...
Then Gabriel would be over Green.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I might be wrong with
you. Okay, well, which is it?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Who the hell knows what's going
to
happen?
You can't see what Dave's doing right now. He's refusing to put any kind of thought into this because he's looking up the pronunciation of amphitheater right now.
Are you
ready? Are you playing it? Don't play it into the mic.
You pronounce amphitheater, amphitheater.
There are H's in there.
An easy word to pronounce. It is. Amphitheater.
Ah, oh, jeez. We've been saying it wrong. I've been saying it wrong. All right, shut up, guy.
Literally the worst fantasy feedback segment ever.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
I'm going to have to pronounce it more correctly now.
Terrible. All right. Let's move on.
I got a little smarter tonight, Balky.
Dear Balky and Dizzle, are you concerned at all that Diggs' injury might affect his production this weekend against the Packers, or can I start him in my PPR with confidence? Wayne in Binghamton, New York. Binghamton? Binghamton. Yeah. It's your government workers. It's a poker game.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's from Rounders.
From Rounders. Stephon Diggs, you worried about this injury at all? For me, see, again, you talk about how I can't talk about certain players because of my biases. How many times have I come on this show and said to bench a receiver or that I'm worried about a receiver going up against the Green Bay secondary? I would wager that it's been zero times that I've ever based a lineup decision on that. When you look at
pretty dialed into hating on the defense. That's okay.
The secondary. I mean, the secondary for the Packers is just always, God, I mean, so frustrating. I mean, they've had some good – they had a great game against Seattle this year, but by and large, they have not been great. And Diggs shredded him last week. I don't expect a repeat performance, but I sure do expect something similar.
I would look for better options just because the quarterback play is not so good. But if he is gonna, I think he's gonna play. He practiced, I believe, today. So I think he's gonna play. If you're in your championship, I hope you have someone maybe a little better.
Yeah. What about the fact that the Vikings are 7-point underdogs and might have to pass to get back into this game in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, they might be beat 31-10. They might.
They'll be passing.
Yes, they'll be passing. They might not be doing anything.
All right. Okay. Aunt Jemima said this is the first time since, because he said amphitheater, and it's amphitheater. He said that was the first time he learned something on the show since he learned codpiece.
Oh, yes.
Way back when. Kern Reeve comes up to me.
The cod piece is like
in Kentucky.
It's very important. It's an important part of history.
First time I ever meet this guy in real life.
I've been eating more cod lately, actually.
I'm striking down the show and putting everything away. And all of a sudden I hear Dave say, "Hey, Balky, someone wants to meet you." And then all of a sudden I hear this voice. "Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't bring my fancy cod piece this week." I'm like, "Oh God." And there was Kern Reeve.
Cornell professor Kern Reeve.
Talking about cod pieces. Gotta love
what's
it.
Is it cod pie?
We got to move on, man. Freddie in Columbus, Ohio. SOS, please help. Hobbled Black Unicorn against New York or Hunter Henry against terrible Cleveland. Thank you. That is Freddie in Columbus, Ohio. That game, that Patriots game, Patriots playing the Jets this week, that game is actually in New England. And the Cleveland-San Diego game, Hunter Henry is actually going to be playing in Cleveland as well. So both of the Bennett's at home, Henry's on the road. Do you have any feelings here on Bennett's injury?
It said he had a limited week of practice. If he's playing, they don't use the word snap count. I'm rolling with Bennett
over Henry.
Yeah, because Henry still has to work. He still has to worry a little bit about Gates. I know they run two tight end sets here and there, but you have Tom Brady. Rivers is a good quarterback, but
right.
Brady's Brady.
And
Bennett hasn't been killing it or anything, but I mean, He's a good player.
If we were better prepared for the show, I could tell you how many routes were run between Gates and Henry last week. I think that would be a telling stat to check out. I think if Gates was dominating that, that's even more of a reason to start Bennett. This is a game that, I mean, New England, it could be like a 45-9 game or something like that. I mean, they could just run up the score. Who knows?
And that's fine as long as he's part of the first
45. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Bennett is probably the guy you'd want to play over Henry. Final email tonight is as we wrap things up. Eddie in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, guys, what's your favorite holiday tradition? Now, I don't know if I have a favorite holiday tradition, but I will say this.
What is your favorite holiday tradition?
Not this year. Yeah. Here's what's going on in my house this year.
Oh, tell me about it.
Tomorrow morning, we're having brunch.
If you don't care, you can turn the show off now.
Yeah, you probably can. Tomorrow morning, we're having brunch with my in-laws. And the reason we've never done Christmas Eve brunch before. The reason
brunch
is
with the in-laws.
Because my wife, because we normally hang out with them Christmas Eve night. And my wife felt bad that we never hang out with my side of the family, or, you know, my family.
You mean on Christmas
Eve? On Christmas Eve night.
Why are you it's Christmas Eve.
Right. Because there's two separate things going on here. We have brunch with my in-laws, and then we got to go over to my folks at night because my wife felt bad that we – I'm like, this is too much right. Christmas already, and it's Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Gets worse.
Yes.
Christmas
or
Day,
better.
We go to
more
church.
Family.
Christmas Day, we go to church. Then right after church, we got to scream over to my grandma's house, slam open all our gifts there, scarf down food. Then we got to hustle and get the kids home. And the reason is for that, for their naps. And then when they wake up, here's the problem. My wife's father's extended family comes from a big family. They get together every big holiday, Thanksgiving and Christmas and what have you. It's never been everybody, you know, getting together. It's always, you know, a good portion of them. And Jen, my wife, said, hey, when they were talking about who's going to have Christmas this year, Jen said, oh, we could. And I'm like, what are you doing? We do not have a large house. We cannot accommodate, you know, the 15 or 20 people that would come and get together for this. We just can't.
Podcasting doesn't buy mansions?
No, it doesn't. Now, listen to this. Now, a lot of people got married. Some of them had kids now, so the family's getting larger. So Jen sends out this invite to all these people. And every single one of them RSVP'd yes. 35 people coming over.
Holy crap.
Yeah, 35 people. There could be more. I mean, I don't know. There's homeless people that are going
to
come off the street and seeing all these people come into my house and think that they can hang out there.
What time is that?
That's Christmas night.
Oh, I'm not doing anything.
So, yeah, exactly.
Over?
So, yeah, and get me out of there.
I'll bring a bottle of wine and Cheez-It party mix.
Wherever I post,
two boxes
wherever
of party
I mix. Wherever I post up at my house at like 4 o'clock, whenever he starts getting there, that's where I'm staying the rest of the night. Because I'm never going to see half these people because they're going to be upstairs and I'm going to be downstairs or vice versa.
I'll just go in the basement and get drunk.
Well,
is that cool?
That's what I might
with
have
the
to be doing.
Party mix and the wine.
That's what I might have to be doing. So anyway, and to make it worse, both my kids have colds and my wife has still not done any kind of significant preparation for this.
She hasn't cleaned the house.
Because she's done some of that.
Okay.
Because she is now sick.
Eric, can you clean the house?
Yeah, my wife does not sound like that, listeners. So
let me get this straight.
Is going to be the worst Christmas ever because of this. I'm very thankful for my health and everything
family.
I have. Yeah.
Everyone's healthy.
Too much family.
Too much food.
Everyone is not healthy.
Presents.
We will not have too much food.
Plenty of drinks.
Homeless people are going to eat
drinks.
It.
Drinks.
Homeless people will be drinking.
# first world problems.
This is not first world problems. This is...
And you got church thrown in there, too. That's good.
It's a good problem to have, but my God, not looking forward to that.
My God, indeed. Have fun at church.
All right, I will do that. Listen, I want to let's wrap things up here tonight.
It'll be busy there.
It probably will be. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you celebrate with. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus. I'm trying to think of the other ones I may have forgotten. Happy Boxing Day in Canada for our Canada players.
Bryce mentioned Boxing Day today. How annoying.
Why is
good
that
job,
annoying?
Bryce.
Why is that annoying?
Because, I mean, it's just not celebrated here. What are you, Mr. International?
All right. Well, maybe he
good
is.
Good for you, Bryce.
Technically,
Boxing Day.
He is Mr. International. lived in Australia, New Zealand. And
he's also a vegan, but he's not that vegan.
Not that vegan is a good team.
He's like, I'm vegan, but I mean, like, I guess I would eat, like, meat if it's there or whatever. It's
all
like,
right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I get it. I want to thank Kyle Reed. I want to thank the FFPC. I want to thank Rob. And I will thank Bryce, even though Dave is ripping on him right now.
See you later, vegan friends.
Thursday morning, check out the High Stakes Lowdown. Brian Pakula will be on that show. That's going to be very exciting. Great realtor, Brian Pakula. We're going to have him on. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
I'm curious. I want to hear his feelings.
Play the playoff challenge, myffpc.com. Support the SDFSDA. All proceeds going there, so definitely check that out. Line up tomorrow morning, people. Saturday afternoon football. Get them in. Enjoy championship week. Happy holidays. Good luck. Your weekend starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by myffpc.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.
I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top, and if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is...
You know, the other thing, too, is I think I'm going to have to keep my windows open, my house. You know, it's got a ton of snow outside. I'm going to have to keep my windows open.
Well, it's going
to
get too hot in there.
It's going to be like 150 degrees in that house with all those people.
I agree.
So annoying.
Bring all the snow in.
Is the new year here yet?